Anyway, we talked about last week, and this is a quick review. Before I get into this week and more notes that have no place for you to fill out, but you can scribble on the sides. But what does it mean to believe, okay? And we talked about the three different words that are translated at different times, different ways. Pistuo is the verb. Pistis is the noun. Sometimes you see the verb used to believe, and then they'll, in the same verse, use the for the noun faith. And to me, that confuses people because it's talking about the same thing. We're going to talk about why there's so much confusion, I think, in 2 weeks. That's going to be kind of our wrap-up for this series. But pistuo, pistis, and pistos, this is the adjective form. I recommend just using these, to believe for the verb, somehow believing, believe, sir. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. Maybe they're just that was more the more comfortable term. Believe it or not, how it was translated before carries a lot of weight. Okay, why change it unless there's a reason to change it? And it's accurate. It's just confusing. Okay. So, why do you, and there's other things too, theological things, not for this, I don't think this is a theological thing. The reason why we use the word church today is a very theological reason. The conservatives did not like the King James Version word for church because they saw that as representing the Catholic Church. The word church means assembly. Okay, that's why you have assemblies of God or what, you know, that's where they get. Baptize was not translated at all. The Greek word is baptizo. It means to immerse. But when you have people translating the Bible that do not believe in immersion, and they don't want to offend the king who doesn't either, you transliterate it. So you don't translate. There's reasons why. Okay. But I do not understand why they would do this other than maybe everyone understood the concept of faith and belief are synonymous. To believe and have faith is the same thing. It's not something different. Even to trust and to believe are the same thing. We're going to talk about that sometime. People try to build some kind of nuanced, flavored difference. It doesn't work. It just adds confusion. But I would suggest using believe, belief, and believable to translate those words so that it's understandable. All right? It's still in the context to believe. It might be believe, you know, something that somebody said just of temporal value. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to do with eternal salvation, but the word still has that connotation. We talked about the definition of faith. There's three parts. God's promise. God claims something. He says something. The issue whether we believe. See, it works. To
I'm knocking the ceiling.
You heard me, though, right? Okay. So why are we switching?
Because you're cutting it down.
But she's only getting... Okay. Oh, you know why? It's underneath my... I put the tie on after I put the... Yeah, okay. Hello. Okay. Needed to... Father... No, it's on.
It's on.
Try this again. Okay. Let's try this again. Hi, my name is Kevin. I'll be your teacher today. Does that mean I get to go get more snacks, like back up and start all over? Oh, guess not. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So there's something that God says is true. The issue then is, do we believe that he can do it and will do it? Belief is from a definition. And anything else that someone tries to say only takes away from that or complicates that. So it has to do with God's ability. Can he do it? And God's reliability that he will do it. And Abraham, what did God promise Abraham? It wasn't that Jesus would die for his sins. God didn't go into that much detail. Abraham did not know the name Jesus, as far as we know. Actually, not even that. That was for Isaac, but that's not when this happened. This was 30 years earlier. He said, look up into the heavens, and if you can count the number of stars, that's what your descendants will be numbered at. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, Genesis 15:6, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul picked up on that in 4 and says, even though Abraham's body was dead and Sarah was past producing, being able to produce children, it says here that he was fully persuaded, even though these things were true, he believed God because God said he would make of you a father of many nations. Abraham believed that God could do it and would do it, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed what God said. Okay? So that's what this is all about. That's what faith is. And we're going to talk more about that idea today. Today we're going to be negative, all right? You ready to be negative? I've got some really colorful sheets. And I was going to double-side them, but I thought it might be helpful to have you be able to see it from both, look at them both at the same time. Nothing to fill in, but you might want to scribble notes. And I did it in color too, so you can see kind of a little more emphasis here. But what belief or faith is not? Okay? What it is, what it means. Then we're going to look at what it is not, because we're going to clear up some more confusion. Or, some work. Hopefully, are you getting it? Not really. I hope that's never the case. But I did it. And once I printed it off, you really need to see it. Too much so you see it, because it probably will make a whole explain it, but hopefully it makes sense when I explain it. All right, anybody need any more information on the board? Well, it's fine because, oh, here it is. I can't erase it anyway, unless I use my shirt, and that would get me brownie points with other people. We're going to kind of tie in a little bit with the passage that Jim preached out of last week. Luke 17 is part of it. Not just that passage, but it definitely clears things up too. All right. 3 points. You see, 1 and 2 are at the top of the first side, and then 3 is down at the bottom. We'll spend most of our time on the second point. But belief or faith, I mean, I keep using it interchangeably so you get that idea. When you see faith, think belief, okay? Faith or belief is not something that is measurable. Oops, we haven't prayed yet, have we? We've only reviewed, so let me pray. Lord, help us to learn, to grasp this. Lord, it's really not hard, but a lot of what makes it hard is how we've been wrongly taught before. And I pray that you just help us to wade through this and hang in there and be able to clear some of the fog away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, belief is not something that is measurable. All right? The question is not, do you have enough faith? Like you could stack it up.
Okay? Like you can somehow measure it. You get that? Like the apostles asked. They were thinking of it in that way. What did they ask last week? Luke, Lord, increase our faith. Right? That was their question. Lord, give me faith. All right? Which means like, okay, you can have a little or a lot. Okay? That's called quantitative, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That's what the kind of the charts are for. Quantitative belief is not measurable. Okay? Not is a key word. We're looking at what faith is today. Try another marker here. There's two ways to look at faith. One is quantitative. And look at, think of quantity, okay? Quantity, how much? Okay, those are big words, but they're important words. Quantity, it depends on how much you have. You know, I'll put how much. And maybe do you have enough? Quantitative, do you have enough? On a trip, you check your gas tank and see if you have enough gas to get there and or to get back or whatever you need to the next place, okay? Quantitative, do I have enough? I'll put that word too. Enough, do I have enough? Okay, so it gives the idea that there's measurable amounts. The question is not, do you have enough faith? Let's look at Luke. Chapter 17, that's where Pastor Jim was last week. And I just want to bring you to one idea in this passage. I'm in John. No wonder this is not making sense. Whoa. It's like, I'm not finding it. Okay. Notice he says, Luke 17, he says, take heed yourselves if you brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And they're like thinking, this is impossible. What is their response then? There's no way I can do this. Lord, increase our faith. You don't have no idea who I live with. You have no idea who my buddies are. I wouldn't be able to take seven times a day. Okay? So what does Jesus say? Okay, this is how you get faith so that you can work your way up to be able to do this. That would be quantitative. Actually, Jesus says, no, it's not increase our faith. He actually answers the question in a way that it does not involve quantity. Okay? What does he say? Yeah, he says, if you have faith, what's another word for faith? Thank you. If you have belief as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. He said somewhere else, not just a mulberry tree, what? A mountain. And it would do the same thing. So what? And he's saying, the faith of a mustard seed. Mustard seed is one of the seeds that we know of, okay? Really tiny. So he's saying it isn't how much. That's quantitative. That's quantity. It is, and this, I don't use this word either. I don't sit there and talk to my kids. Now, kids, I understand that we've watched some television, but the fact that any television, qualitative, I'm looking at this qualitatively, children. I don't use the term, but I use the term, probably some, quality, and the idea is it is or it isn't. Yes or no. Jesus boils down and says it has nothing to do with having enough faith. It's whether you have any faith at all. Either you have belief, and it makes sense when you start thinking in terms of belief.
Either you believe something or you, what? Don't believe it. Does that make sense? What's the middle ground? I kind of believe it. You know, do you believe the sky looks blue? The answer is yes or no. Not kind of, unless you're colorblind, and I don't know if that would affect it or not. Okay? But it's that, Jesus says it's not quantitative, it's not quantity. Faith is not quantity, faith is quality. Either it's there or it isn't. Basically what he boils down to, and Pastor Jim mentioned this last week, it boils down to obedience. Are you believing what God says or not? People use this all the time. In salvation, it's like, do you have enough faith to save you? That is totally, let me say that. That is totally outside of Scripture. Okay? Either you believe or you do not believe it on any given thing. And by the way, you have to have belief to walk with God, not just to be saved, right? Because as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive Him? By faith or belief. So walk in Him. So the walk of faith is a walk of belief in what God has said, what God says in His Word. God says this, and I believe it. And therefore I act upon that. God says this, to go with God. Yes or no, this is, the question is not, do you have enough belief? That's quantitative. The question is, do you believe God's promise? Period. I put it in your notes too. Period. Qualitative. It's either yes or no, I do or I don't, the light is on or the light is off. I'm going to come back to 1 John 5:1 so I won't go there now. Belief is not based upon your ability to get enough of it. Again, it boils down to God says, for example, Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that or not? There's no quantitative there. There's no believe it enough. There's no room for that in the concept of belief. Okay, questions on number one. Go ahead, Annie. I think it's the same thing, and I'll maybe get back to that a little later. But can you grow in your faith? I believe you can, but how do you grow in your faith? You grow in your faith by understanding what God promises and then believe in what God promised, right? It's not some feeling. It's not a feeling. Emotion is you taking God at His Word. And as we learn the Word of God, we take more of the Word of God at His Word. Maybe we start believing God more. You know, I don't know about you, but I think I thought I believed God at times, but I really didn't because my actions didn't follow through. God, I understand what you're saying, but I don't really believe you yet. Okay, either you do or you don't. But your stronger faith is, look, at God promised this also, and He was worthy here. I mean, in the Old Testament, God, the prophets kept saying, look back at God. Look what He did in the Exodus when He crossed over. That was kind of their big thing. Look back there. You can count on Him. He can and will do what He says. That's stronger faith because, okay, He says, go into this land and take it. Even though the people make us look like grasshoppers, you go in and take it. Did they believe it or not? The people said, no, Moses, you're a dummy. Why did you ever take us out of Egypt where we were safe and sound as slaves? They didn't believe God. Okay? It was either or. So they rejected what God had said for something else. But I think stronger faith is you're seeing more and more of God's promises. Okay? As you either learn them or actually say, you know what, I think He can keep His promises. Okay. Yes. Not to say that it should, but that's kind of the way it works. So, and even reminding it, look at it. God keeps saying too, look back at what God has done. Has he been faithful? Has he not been reliable? Has he not been able to do all that he said he would do? And the answer is why him now? So I would say strong faith is the same as saying, I don't doubt God. Doubt God's promise. That's very good. Okay, number two. Belief is not something beyond assent to the truth. Now, I don't like the word assent, but I'm using it because that's what people use. They affirm the truth, to accept the truth, to believe the truth. A lot of people say, well, you can assent to the facts, but not believe them. Okay? And I'll explain it more here just momentarily, but assent to the facts without believing them. And I'm saying, no, you can't. You either believe them or you don't. Okay, and I'll clarify that. That's what the blue fancy triangles are there on your paper, okay? So we'll get to them. Belief is not something beyond assent to the truth. There's not multiple steps to salvation, okay? Here we go. This is in your paragraph. I'm going to read it. Three steps. It's true. Okay, so that's true. Because there's a lot of an intellectual. It might involve all three, but it's an artificial division there. And the paragraph explains it, so I'm sure some of you are still staring off into space thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about yet. That's okay. We're still moving on. We'll get it. It is said in you that the intellect understands the claims of God when applied to salvation, okay? So far, so good? I can understand it. I can grasp that. This is where the problem is. Then they try to say, well, the emotions have to be involved in salvation. The emotions believe the claims, or they assent to the claims. I'm not sure what the difference between assent and belief is. But if you say assent, what does assent mean? To affirm, to say you, to yes, somehow. You assent to the claims. Now the will, now listen, this is the key word with this idea, appropriates it, appropriates that belief. So if you have belief, you assent to that, you assent to the things of God, you say, yes, they're true, but now you're supposed to appropriate it. Okay? That's a flag word there. It is stated that without this appropriation is impossible. You have easy believism, you have false conversion and all that, and I believe that some of that is true, but not for this reason. There is no biblical basis for this threefold division inside of salvation. Jesus didn't say, well, you have to understand it, and then you must assent to it, and then you must appropriate. He never said that. Paul never said that. Okay? In fact, Paul said, if you believe God, righteousness. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. Okay? It has belief confusing terminology, and this is where I think some people wrestle with their salvation even, because they're like, okay, I believe it, but have I appropriated it?
You ever wrestle with that idea? I have. Why? Because of some of this very teaching. Okay? Now look at the triangle here, okay? I'm going to draw the triangle. Help me out here. What's at the bottom? Okay, we have intellect. And then we have emotions. And then we have something called will. Okay, what's the intellect do according to this view? I believe it's a wrong view. I've put the big red star on there so you can understand that I believe it's wrong. What's the intellect do? Now, claims, okay. Yep. Knowledge of claims. So, God says you're a sinner. Yeah, I understand God says that, okay. God says that. Understand what you're saying. Died in my that I could have Israel. I understand. So it's the knowledge of the claims. That doesn't mean I believe them. Okay? Like, for instance, I can make a claim and say I can make a 50-foot jump shot, nothing but net. That's a claim. Now, if you've ever seen me play baseball, it's a very wild and boundless claim, okay? I can't even make a 2-foot non-jumping shot and barely hit the bang board, okay? But that's a claim. You understand? Understanding the claim, not the knowledge of the claim, does not in any way say it's true. I get what you're saying, okay? The emotions, what does it do here? Assent. It's saying whatever assent means, it's like, yeah, okay, I believe that there was a Jesus who died on the cross for my sins. Okay, I believe that. All right. Then what's will? I put trust here because they can't use the word believe. Because, you know, it's like, isn't trust a synonym for belief? Isn't assent really a synonym for belief? I would have a hard time separating the two, and I would like to ask you, where in the Bible does it separate these two? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, first, let me give you the claims. And I think the Philippian jailer understood the claims because Paul and Silas have been singing and praying all night long. He wasn't needing to be saved, right? Because he ran in on his knees. They said, okay, you need to assent to these, and then somehow you need to appropriate them. How did they usually get you to appropriate it? To pray. Usually, it's pray. Almost always, okay? This prayer, your claims, and you've assented to this. No. So, me, this is more likely to get people that aren't saved but think they are here. In fact, usually, people start sharing the gospel and they say, you know what? Jesus is knocking at your door. I need you to open up the door and let him into your heart. Something like that. And you're like, where's the door to my heart? And what do you need to do? You have something. And it's like, why do you need Jesus? All of that. It's amazing how many tracts ignore all of those. They're trying to without this. And the Bible says that you need this to get there. Okay? So, I don't have my red marker here, so I guess I could use a red crayon right on the board. Right below that chart here, okay? By the way, I was taught this in college. Bible college. Okay? So, I'm not barking up the tree in the wrong, you know, I'm not chasing the wind. With this view, down below that first blue triangle, with this view, you can somehow assent, and I put believe or have faith in. I didn't obviously edit it quite enough. The truth, okay? You can assent to, believe, or have faith in the truth.
enough to be saved. Have you ever heard of the term saving faith? What in the world is saving faith compared to what is unsaving faith or non-saving faith? Any idea? Go ahead. It's a method of evangelism by Dr. G. James Kennedy. I'm just explaining it. Go ahead. Saving faith. Okay. Saving faith. And we probably have all heard it. But what's saving faith? It sounds like you can have faith without it being saving. Do you get me on that? Are there other kinds of faith? And what's the faith? Think about this. Here's faith. What's another word for faith? Okay, just double check in here. And then there's saving faith. There's belief and then saving belief, if I can say it that way. Belief, okay? So you can believe but not be saved. That focuses on this. It focuses on belief, and this focuses on have you. It got far enough that you had enough faith to get over that hump from unsaved to saved. What a prayer, maybe it's going forward, something. Maybe it's an emotional venting of some. It focuses on the person. It focuses on your effort somehow to get over that line. Salvation doesn't focus on you. It's not what you do. With me? It's what Jesus has done. And the gospel is Jesus died for your sins according to the Scripture, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you believe or not? Where is this? Saving faith, there's either faith that saves or there's no faith at all. That's my point. This can actually lead to false conversions. I believe it does just the opposite of what it's attempting. They're trying to get some external thing so they can check you off their list. You're now saved because you prayed the prayer. And we've already talked about which prayer, what do you say? Can you not need something? Right? Often focuses on appropriation, the point of conversion. Did you mean what you said when you were... Did you? I'm like... I know I'm 5 because I'm almost 50 now. That's the only reason. You can't get to 50 without being 5 first, okay? I don't remember all that. Okay? It focuses on the appropriation step, often forgetting this stuff, the bottom two, and how you felt or what you meant. Why do these folks define something to say? So does saving faith have a certain emotion? Because it has faith that saves, but not faith that doesn't save. And faith, we say, believing what God has promised. It isn't by itself. Faith is a standalone for anything. In the wrong thing. That God never promised it, and therefore that's not true. You can't have faith in the righteous Bible. You are not righteous. Nobody is, and you have to believe that. Okay, that's one of the statements of God. Now here, down at the bottom, Bear already kind of hinted at this. Too common, and I put but erroneous, illustrations that promote this view. And I've heard this over and over. Let me grab a chair here, Les. I'm not attacking you. And I've done this at church. Someone says, see this chair? You believe it'll hold you. I say that it'll hold you. Do you assent that this will hold you? Okay, someone says, Annie, do you believe that this chair will hold you?
And she said, yes, well, you've assented to that chair. But have you believed in that? Have you appropriated faith? And you're saying, no, obviously, well, you know, I believe that it'll hold me, but I'm not sitting in it. So, oh, there's some kind of step that I have to sit on the chair. Right? There's some kind of, I believe, but I'm still not sitting. Now again, this view. This one is an elevator. Okay, so this is the elevator. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, going to the top. Do you believe that, you know, this elevator, I claim, will take you all the way up to the 12th floor? Okay, that's your claim. Do you believe that it will? Yes, it looks very sound, functional, and all that. Have you believed? Have you appropriated your faith? How do you appropriate? You step onto the elevator, right? Obvious. It sounds great. Right? Notice here, the chair, you hear, you assent, and you sit. The elevator, you hear, believe, and get on. The problem is, top of the next column there, these illustrations are both good examples of trying to make teaching back up an illustration rather than an illustration that explains teaching. Where in the Bible does it tell you how to, quote, sit on the chair? Unquote, if belief is not that. See, they make belief in the chair and sitting in the chair two different things. From a scriptural perspective, if this was Jesus and it had to do with salvation, if you believe that the chair will hold you, it's what God said He would do and will do, the Bible says you're saved at that point. Why? Because there's belief there. Now, the whole chair thing falls apart. The whole elevator thing falls apart because it creates a level that isn't required in the Bible. Let me quote you. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Not believe and appropriate. Not believe and pray. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? You. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Well, but how do I sit on it? Stop thinking of the chair. Because God didn't use the illustration of the chair. Other people did. Maybe good intention people, but they only confuse salvation to make it different than what it really is. Analytical questions. When you follow the elevator, here's a question. How much belief is enough? Okay, that's come right. Right, if it takes a certain amount of belief to get from assent to trust, how do you How about this? Another question. How do you know that you have enough? How is it measured to make sure? Because but I prayed, I didn't know if I was over the hump, if I had enough. Okay? And there's no way to measure. So you constantly struggle with, am I saved or am I not saved? Okay? Some of you have been there with me on that. Second question is, how exactly do you appropriate the truth? If it's the whole idea of whether it's opening the door for Jesus or sitting in the chair, how do you go about doing that? I get the illustration. I disagree with it, but if it's true, how do you sit in the chair? And they have to come up with something else. Trust and assent. They have to come up with external action to do that. Oh, it's me that's the focus of my salvation, Christ. And what God says about belief doesn't count because there's something else that you have to do. Make sense? Fair. Unless you want to, I have an evangelism explosion book. I have it so I can look at it. Evangelism explosion, yes, but not because of the chair chair illustration, it's in spite of it. Okay? If I say intellect, there's don't the Bible understanding. Okay? Here's what God says. You understand it. Now listen, understanding is not believing. You understand God. Okay? Understand them. It's just a claim. You know, some say that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. I understand that some do. I understand that claim. I understand that some say he was sinless. I understand that claim. That doesn't mean you believe it. You just understand it. Okay? Knowledge of claim, just like before. I call it understanding. You understand what the question is. And the only path or the only step in the Bible is, do you believe it? Okay? And I have done God and his claims about Christ as being true, and for me, it's like, do you believe what God has said is true? He who believes in him is not condemned. He's not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, assent, and appropriate. Is that what it says? I'm saying people have struggled, and if you do not understand salvation, you do not grow as a Christian. Because everything you do is built upon either you or understanding what God has already done. And let me tell you, when you start understanding that God has already done this for you because of what Jesus has done, it changes your whole outlook on life. It changes your whole view on Christianity. Below the second blue triangle here. Either you believe or you don't believe God's claims. That's the biblical view. Either you take what God says as true or you reject it as untrue. That's your only point. Now, people can talk all they want and they might still be in the knowledge of the claims area, understanding. Some people, they know they believe it. That just means that believe it or not. Either yes or no is the answer. You can understand God's claims without believing him to be true, but belief alone is what is required to save and to walk with God. I've already quoted John 3:18. You can look up John 3:36 because I can't quote it. I've already quoted Acts 16:30. It serves what must they do to be saved. Romans 4 is last week, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore has accounted him for righteousness. That's in Abraham. Colossians 2, should be 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that is by faith or belief, so walk. That's what a passage that talks about you still need belief to walk with God. I'm going to give you one more illustration, and it's not the chair illustration. I want you to turn to 1 John 5. This was at the beginning. I told you we'd get it at the end, and we will right now. 1 John 5. I wrestled with my salvation. I was a young adult in the U.S. Army. I heard all kinds of things like this. Did you really mean it? Did you say the right words? Did you come forward? If you have sin in your life right now, you probably just aren't saved in the first place because you must not have tried hard enough and you didn't get over it. Okay? I started reading my Bible really regularly. But I came across 1 John 5:1, and I'm like, this is amazing. This nails it down. Okay? And he usually says, do you remember thought, what you believe. Okay? 1 John 5:1. He, James, whoever believes this is the Christ, is born of God. Is that a clear statement? Help me out here. It's another one of those very clear statements. How many steps is there? Again, just double checking here, okay? Let's write this on the board. Whoever, now notice this, I want to show it out real quick. Believes, this is present tense. Profound. I'll tell you in a sec. Whoever believes right now, whoever is believing that Jesus is the Christ,
And the idea is he's the Savior, the Son of God. It's the pregnant meaning of the word, not some trite meaning. Just like believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You know who he is and what he's done. That's what Christ means. Literally it says this. It's a perfect tense. Has been born. Do you believe? Oh, how's it? I haven't. Sorry, I have to look. Has been born of God. That is a perfect tense. It's past tense with continuing results. I want you to get this. But notice, do you remember when you got saved? Felt, what you believed, you know, all that kind of stuff? No, the question is, and this is, understand this. God is not worried about when it began. The issue is, has it begun? Okay? My illustration is this. Some of you can answer the question, so it's going to blow it off a little bit. But are the lights on? How do you know the lights are on? Did you see somebody turn the lights on? I'm going to say, I don't need to see someone turn the lights on. I can see right now the lights are on, so someone in the past must have turned on. If you believe right now that Jesus is the Christ, how do you know that you started believing at some point? Because my light is on. I believe right now, so therefore my belief started sometime, and God doesn't even care about the sometime. That's not the emphasis in the word. You never say, write this in the front of your Bible. I was saving this date and I really meant it this time. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I've done that. And he says, yeah, Kevin, do you believe right now? Yeah, okay. Because of the lights on right now. Whoever believes right now that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. The light's on. Right? All this conversion stuff, that because it's what is true right now, proves what started in the past, when who cares? Maybe you know and it's clear and that's okay. But and that of other people. Okay? Because the Bible doesn't demand conversion. How do you know you were born? There's another example. How do you know you were born? Well, somebody told me, were you there? Yeah, but I don't remember. Well, how do you know you were born? I'm here right now. Okay, proof enough. It's that idea, okay? That same idea. What's true now? What started? Last point here. Belief is not a power in and of itself. And people get confused. We brought this up last week. Faith is a well of misunderstand what faith means. Faith or belief is not a power itself. Simply having faith, remember you have to, if you use the term belief, then if politicians would start saying, I hold on to my belief, and then your next question would be, what is your belief? But they instead they use faith, and somehow they think it stands alone, but it doesn't. Having faith or holding on to my faith in some type of self-reliance is not biblical faith. That's having faith in yourself somehow, and you can't save you. Believing in something God has not promised is worthless. Why? Because it's fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. He didn't promise that you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you just hang in there with your own self-confidence to get through it. Whether it's salvation or something else. No, that is not biblical faith. Biblical faith is what has God said, do I believe it or not? Last paragraph. Our belief does not save us. Understand that. This kind of makes you go into that. You say, no. Believing in God's ability and reliability to do what He says is what God requires for Him to save you. God saves us. I underlined it. Do you see that? God saves us. You don't save yourself. It isn't that you get enough faith so that you're saved now. God saves you based upon His promise to do so when we believe what He has said
about his son and his son's death and resurrection. The question is, do you believe? It has nothing to do with having enough faith. It's whether or not you have belief at all. That's clear what the Bible teaches over and over again. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I hope it helps build a good foundation for your salvation and your Christian walk. Father, thank you for your truth. I pray that you would just help us to think about it, to chew on it till we get it, Lord, and help us not to be led astray by maybe the well-intentioned but still erroneous views that confuse salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.